Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast. I'm your host, Alex Carpenter, and this week we chatted with photographer Jesse Carmody. He's a photographer based out of Los Angeles, California. He does a lot of traveling, so we chatted with him a little bit about how he brews coffee while he's on the road, and then also we chatted with him how he started up his own cold brew company called Pump Cold Brew. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for listening. Hey, Jesse, how's it going?
Good, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yeah, I know I contacted you a while back and all, and through a series of events, we weren't able to make it happen at the time. But I know since then, I saw that you got married and took a vacation. So I wanted to congratulate you on that first off.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
for
sure.
It's been really awesome.
Yeah.
Married life is good life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So you guys got to go on a honeymoon to Hawaii, was it?
Yes, it was. We went to Kauai. It was both of our first time. And we'd both been to Hawaii before, but never to that island. And it was amazing.
Nice. Yeah, I actually spent 3 months on Maui, actually, too, about 4 or 5 years ago now. So I didn't get to make it over to Kauai, but I had a couple of friends who were on that island, and they liked it a lot over there.
Were you just visiting, or were you working there? Why were you there for so long?
I was actually working in a restaurant. Before I kind of got all into this stuff, I spent a year working in culinary arts. A year at college for culinary arts and spent 3 months out in Maui cooking in a restaurant. So I got to spend that time there.
Not a bad place to work. That's awesome.
Not bad at all. Did you get any good coffee out there? Like, what was the coffee experience out there for you?
The coffee experience out there for me was bringing coffee with us and our travel kit with us.
Gotcha.
I travel a lot for work, and since coffee is a big part of my life, you can't depend on what's going to be available to you. I think when you're used to a certain standard, you kind of have to take it with you. So our coffee experience on our honeymoon was just like it is at home every morning.
Awesome. I guess I jumped the gun a little bit. For the listeners out there, could you give a little bit of backstory about yourself and what you do for a living?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a photographer, and that is the reason that I travel so much. So that kind of falls into me being prepared on the road with coffee, and then I run a small little cold brew company as well.
Awesome, for sure. What got you into coffee? When did you start taking the time to brew it and get a little bit more experience with it?
It was actually later in life. I grew up, my father, made coffee every morning. I was just, the smell of ground beans has always been a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I kind of resisted getting into it because I didn't enjoy the taste as a kid. And then I saw a lot of my friends, early teens start to drink coffee, but it was a lot of like milky, sugary kind of drinks. And I guess it just didn't appeal to me, or it just didn't seem that they actually liked coffee. It seemed that they liked, sugar and milk, and that was like the way they were getting caffeine. And I guess I just thought, if I'm gonna drink coffee, I want to actually like coffee, and currently I don't, so I'm good. And I think I was about 22, and I had a friend that was a barista, and we were hanging out at his house one day listening to records, and he made coffee, and he's like, "You really don't like coffee?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't think so." And he's like, "Well, can I make you—" he had an espresso machine at home, and he made me an Americano, and it was the first drink that I actually liked. And he's a super crafty, critical kind of guy. And I loved that aspect of it. As a photographer, I'm really drawn to people that take time to craft things manually.
Uh-huh.
I love photographing fabricators and just people that make things with their hands. And my friend Jeff was very much that way with his coffee. So I immediately was like, "Tell me everything," and then it was on from there on out. I, found out that I actually really did enjoy coffee. And then the process of brewing it manually was just like huge for me, where I loved infusing that ritual into my morning.
For sure. So since that first cup of coffee, I'm sure, what was the first brewing device that you got, or how did you start brewing it yourself?
The first brewing device I got was actually given to me by that friend, and it was a Bialetti. So it was like a stovetop, kind of espresso pot.
Oh, nice.
And it went from that, and then I got my first V60, and then I wanted to try French press, and then I wanted to try Chemex, and then wanted to try AeroPress, and then got into cold brew. So I just, wanted to try every method, not possible, because obviously it can be endless, siphon filters and all that, but just learning about full immersion brewing versus like gravity brewing, and then paper filtration versus metal filtration, and I think was fascinated by the variety of ways to do it, and kind of really focusing on the characteristics, because I was so late to drinking coffee. I feel like that was like 7 years ago now, and I felt like I had to catch up, so I really dove headfirst into figuring out all of the methods, and not so much to try to figure out what one was my favorite, but to figure out why people choose one versus the other.
Yeah, for sure. So fast forward to today, it sounds like you've definitely got a good handle of all the different brewing methods and tested out a bunch of them. Like what one would you say you prefer to brew most of the time?
Probably I'd say Chemex. I like paper filtration, and I know it can be kind of wasteful in terms of flavor, filtering out oils, and wasteful in terms of using paper, but I enjoy it. I like making Chemex, and Chemexes are beautiful. They look great in any kitchen. So
for sure. Yeah. I think that was one of the first ones besides the AeroPress that my wife had. So I kind of was able to use that as well, but we definitely put a lot of miles in on our Chemex until we picked up a Kalita Wave, and that one has kind of taken over for a while now, but
very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I much like one of our previous episodes, Aaron, I found you through Instagram, and I've seen that you do a lot of biking as well, and you kind of have these outdoor meetups, and you actually bring your Chemex as well.
Well, yeah, so Aaron, it's just down the street from my house. I actually live really close to the LA River. They have a meetup, and it's cycling and coffee go together hand in hand like nothing else. I mean, it's caffeine actually can hinder pain receptors, so it helps deal with that. From soreness and stuff like that, but it's also great for energy. I don't know, it's just nice. Somehow it just works out really well. So they do that, and the kind of outdoor social coffee brewing that I would say I do more is either camping or post surf, getting cold and then getting out of cold water and having hot coffee is incredible. So I do it after surfing or camping for sure, but it is nice to have it bicycle camping as well. It's good to have it everywhere.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty big and fragile piece of coffee equipment to bring around with you.
I've definitely broken a couple.
I saw that. I was going back through your Instagram feed to get a little bit of some stories, but I saw that you actually broke one recently.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking because they are beautiful, but I honestly felt like, wow, it took that long, because like you said, it is big and it is fragile, and I had a lot of luck for a long time, and actually, knock on wood, still haven't had another break since, so it's okay.
Very good. So you say you do a lot of traveling and all, and what's your typical setup that you'd bring with you on the road, and kind of explain a little bit about that?
If I'm flying, I actually don't, I won't bring glassware. So I usually I have an acrylic French press that I'll bring when I'm flying out for a job. And most hotels, you can get a hot water kettle, and then I'll just bring, a little mini mill, like hand grinder. Mm-hmm. And I do still always travel with a scale, which is super nerdy. Some people like even when we're camping, it's like, come on, you got to ref it. We're camping. It's like, no, I like to be precise, but, But so my typical travel setup, if I'm flying somewhere, would be the acrylic French press and just a scale in a mini mill, and then I'll, you know, source water in a hot water kettle somewhere else. But if we're gonna go camping, or if I'm driving anywhere, you know, we'll bring a camp stove, and I really do like to travel with a Chemex, and then I'll bring a Hario kettle and bring the same scale and stuff like that, and bring the Chemex. It's good to have.
Nice. For anybody out there who like asks, like, why do you weigh out your coffee or your water? Why do you put so much effort into that? Like, even when you're traveling, like, what would you say to somebody just curious about why you'd want to have that much precision? Like, why not just use a couple scoops of beans?
Well, scoops, you know, a lot of people use scoops as a way to measure, but the density changes from bean to bean. So what may be a tablespoon of one varietal will not weigh the same as another. So, you know, you're precise when you use weight to measure your coffee, beans, and your water. So it's, you know, it's just a way to really maintain consistency, and that's why I use a scale every time.
For sure. Yeah, that's often a question I get, or somebody's getting into it, like, why do I need a scale? And it's always a little bit hard to explain to somebody, because they just haven't tasted that type of consistency of a coffee. You know, once you dial in a coffee or spend the time trying to when you get a new bean in or something like that, and you're trying to create that flavor that you enjoy a lot, I mean, you spend the time and you make it consistent like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, once you kind of, you get to that place where you know what that cup tastes like, when it's off, you know it's off. So
exactly,
you know, it's kind of like cheating to me, you know, using a scale every time, but it's okay.
Very cool. Well, I know you mentioned earlier that you created a cold brew company. Can you explain a little bit about that, how that got started? And
well, I live in Los Angeles, and we do have hot summers, and I do like drinking coffee in the middle of the day, and so hot coffee kind of wasn't doing it for me. And also had tried cold brew multiple places, and was learning about the difference between cold brew and iced coffee. And I just felt like I wanted to really jump into making a bunch of it. And this coincided with a time that our friends were opening up a store of a couple friends that own a kind of surf motorcycle lifestyle brand called Iron and Resin. And they were opening up a shop up in Ventura, and they wanted to have bottled cold brew on hand at this store to just kind of have as a feature of the store. And so I'd never made it before. And and they were like talking about bringing down a well-known bottled cold brew. And I was like, wait, let me try. I'll bottle it. Like, I totally know the aesthetic. I know what we're going for. Like, let me take a crack at it. If it sucks, cool, it's a wash. If you guys like it, then you'll have that. And I had a pretty good handle on coffee already, never cold brewed. So I just talked to a roaster that I knew, and talked to a couple of different people that were baristas that made cold brew regularly. And it's actually really easy and really forgiving and really simple. And so I was using good water and good beans, and it tasted good. And the aesthetic kind of fell into place. I was lucky enough to work with a graphic designer here, a friend named Josh Porter, and he really helped me create visuals to brand it, and it just kind of fell into place really easily, and it kind of grew and became something overnight. And that's how it all happened. It happened in a flash.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For listeners out there, what can you kind of briefly explain the difference between like a cold brew and an iced coffee? And I think some people sometimes get those two mixed up or think they're the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they're not the same thing. So iced coffee traditionally would be a cup of coffee that's brewed in a standard way, you know, so hot with hot water. So mm-hmm. It could be French press. It could be just drip coffee. And then that's brought down in temperature and poured over ice. And sometimes that's brought down in temperature naturally in a slow process where it would just be left out and then eventually put into a fridge and then eventually, you know, poured over ice. But sometimes it's literally taking a hot cup of coffee and dumping it on top of a ton of ice. And the drawback to the latter would be dilution. And then also coffee can be shocked. So taking it from a hot temperature to a cold temperature really quickly will actually shock the coffee and you'll get even more burnt bitterness. And cold brew is like the exact opposite in terms of bitterness. You're taking room temperature water, you're pouring it over ground coffee, and you're walking away. Anywhere from 12 to 24 hours. My magic number was always 18 hours. And so because you're going at this with room temperature, you're eliminating acidity that's created by heat. So the cup is way more alkaline. It's way more smooth. And people think it's really strong because it's served kind of strong. It's so smooth that you can get away with having a ratio that's more coffee than water. Traditionally, when you brew cold brew, you're making a concentrate and then you're diluting it again. And you can kind of get away with cheating that ratio of concentrate to water to being more on the side of concentrate. And so some people think it's like, whoa, I get super, you know, super caffeinated from cold brew. And it's not necessarily because that's an inherent quality of cold brew. It's just because it of the way it was served. But yeah, that was kind of a tangent. I think for me, explaining the main difference to people is that cold brew is smooth. It's more flavorful, for me at least. Uh-huh. And it's simple because it requires so little in terms of equipment. You need, you know, a vessel to steep or brew in, and then you need a, you know, some filters to strain it. I always went nettle filtration on my cold brew. And I, like I said earlier, I like to go paper for hot, but cold brew I go metal filtration. And
all right,
yeah, I think that it ends up tasting better. You definitely have to be careful with sediment. So a trick I learned was with my third round of filtration, I would go in like multiple waves. I would set it all into the fridge, and so the particles, like the super super fine stuff that you couldn't get strained out with a basket filter, they'd all kind of fall to the bottom, and then they'd start to coagulate when they got cold, so they'd all kind of bond together. And then if you very gently poured off the top, you know, a few hours later, you'd notice all that stuff would remain at the bottom. So you just have to like kind of stop your pour right before you get to the end. And it'd end up being really clean, actually.
Gotcha. Crazy. Definitely a bigger project than you probably thought of when you started then, huh?
Yeah, but it was really fun. I think there was just one learning another technique, and like I said, the manual process is fun and exciting for me. It was cool, but then also creating a brand, that was a whole other thing that I'd never done before, and so that made it really fun.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then also winging it, you know, like I said, I'd never made it before. I started the company essentially. The first batch literally got sold. There was no product development phase. It was like, okay, this is how you make it. I'm gonna make it. Cool, bottled it, branded it, and then it got sold in the store right away. So
nice.
I think I was so hooked because it actually worked the first time.
Yeah, not too often. That doesn't happen too often.
No, and in hindsight, I probably should have refined it a little bit more, but we were just, they needed it, you know.
Yeah.
and I was ready.
Yeah, I saw too that you created like the cycling jerseys as well, that were like, I don't wear any cycling jerseys when I go biking or anything, but those ones, I was like, I just want to buy that just to hang it on my wall. I love the colors and the look of it. It turned out really well.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It was, like I said, cycling's a big part of my life, and the coffee and cycling going hand in hand. I actually made two different jerseys in both times, got to work with two really cool designers on it. Josh Porter, who helped me out with the branding, did the first one. And then my friend Sean Talkington, did the second round, and both times was super stoked on what came out of it and got a great response from people in our local cycling community, and even actually people that had never had the coffee before who had never drinking pump, because it's only sold locally. And I ended up sending a couple overseas, and I was like, whoa, this is really cool.
That's awesome.
Don't focus too much on apparel, but it was just like a fun thing to do.
Being in California, I mean, there's tons of coffee shops and places to buy beans. Where do you usually go, and what kind of beans do you brew up usually?
You know, we don't have a ton of roasters in Los Angeles, unfortunately. There definitely are a lot of cafes. But there's this recent influx of out-of-town roasters moving in and setting up shops. So there's like Blue Bottle from San Francisco, Verve's coming in from Santa Cruz. One of the first ones was Stumptown coming in from Portland, Intelligentsia from Chicago. So we definitely have, you know, great third-wave cafes, but don't have a huge presence of roasters. There's definitely really cool small batch roasters. We didn't live near each other in the beginning, but when I started Pump, I was working exclusively with this guy Greg, who roasts in Atwater Village here in Los Angeles, and his company is called Tristero.
Yeah, that's what Aaron was mentioning them, and he took over our Instagram feed here recently, and he was posting that he was brewing those beans this morning.
Awesome. Yeah, Greg's a super cool guy, really passionate, you know, has a really small operation, and until recently had, you know, he had a day job, so he was roasting in limited quantities, which made it really cool, you know, because it was like, you know, it's not available to everyone. There's no way he could roast, you know, enough in the hours between work and life and everything else to be a huge company. So it was like special to work with someone who was small like that, but he was turning out super good stuff. So it's nice that there is some small lots of really good coffee available that is roasted in Los Angeles. But like I said, in terms of like a wider reaching brand, we don't really have one. We did with Handsome Coffee Roasters, but I'm sure you've heard of them and know that they got acquired by Blue Bottle. So now it's like we don't necessarily have like a LA coffee roaster that's around everywhere. But anyways, back to your original question, in terms of what I go grab here in Atwater Village, there's a cafe inside of a bakery. So the bakery is called Proof, and then the cafe is called Cognoscenti. Mm-hmm. And they usually have a pretty good range of different coffees. So they'll bring coffee in from Portland or San Francisco, definitely. And it's nice because there's usually a range from like up to, I want to say sometimes they have like six different roasters beans for sale there. So it's cool to switch it up all the time. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite cafes in Los Angeles called Blacktop exclusively sells Cyclass, which is great because Cyclass rules. So it's nice. It's nice that there's a variety, but I wouldn't say there's any one bean that I buy regularly. I think I'm open to trying, you know, it's fun to try different stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's what I talk about a lot with people. I mean, they like a lot of my friends and stuff, they'll go out and drink all these different types of beer, but like when it's coffee, it's like they'll just go to like Folgers or something, like,
right.
Reach outside and experiment and taste different beans, because there's just like tons of different flavors that I'm sure that you've never even had or experienced yet.
Right, exactly. I mean, definitely living on the West Coast in this influx of third wave coffee, we're kind of, our palates are more tuned to lighter roast, but it's cool to taste the difference from one region to another. Like, you know, you go further up the coast towards Portland and Seattle and the roasts are still a little bit darker. So knowing that and kind of seeing what they do with it is really interesting.
Awesome. Well, Jesse, I really appreciate you joining us on the show. And for the listeners out there, where can they find you online?
I probably Instagram is unfortunately what I put myself out there the most on. I should probably focus more on like a blog or a website, but really it's just Instagram and it's just my name, Jesse Carmody, so I'll be
Awesome.
there.
Well, thanks again for joining us, and
Alex, thank you. It's awesome.
yeah, for sure. Take care.
All right, you too. Thank you.